Great. So today is my turn. The verse that came to mind first when I started to prepare for today was from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It's not really related directly to the talk, but Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So whether listening to a talk or giving a talk, this is what it's about. Doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So our three key words for this morning are fear, failure, and love. And hopefully you've had a little bit of time to think about the passages and the questions that were in the booklet related to our theme for today. Strikes me that these three things are related: fear, failure, and love, because they're all things that we experience. From time to time, we experience fear, we experience failure, and hopefully we also experience love in one way or another. So all three things, all three are things that we feel, that impact us emotionally, and that affect us in the way that we lead our lives. The big question that I want us to explore is, what difference does love make to our fears and failures? How can love overcome fear and failure? Because if you're anything like me, I'm quite keen to avoid fear and failure if at all possible. But at the same time, I know that fear and failure are a part of life. There's no avoiding them if we're honest. But as we know, and as we've been hearing this week, love is also a part of life. We might even agree that love is the most important thing in life. So if love can help us in the area of fear and failure, that's certainly worth exploring or considering at least. So the way I'd like to do this is through a series of questions. First of all, I want us to identify what are some of our fears and failures. What are some common fears? What do we mean by failure? How do we define what failure is? And then I'd like us to think about how fear and failure affect us. So what are some of the ways our fears and failures impact our lives? After that, we'll ask the question, okay, so how do we deal with our fears and failures? What are some of the ways in reality that we have to cope with fear and failure? And not just us, but everyone. How do we, as humans, cope with fear and failure? And then finally, I want to explore how God deals with our fears and failures. And in particular, this question, what difference does love make in these areas of life? So hopefully that gives you an idea of where we're going in the next half an hour. Are there any questions or any other questions that you'd like to bring into our discussion this morning? Anything else that comes to mind? Okay, it's clear enough where we're going. So the other day, Beth encouraged us to start to make a list of the things that we love. A great idea. I don't know if you've done that or thought about doing that. I think it would also be helpful to make a list of our fears and our failures. So two more lists, things that we love, things that cause us fear, times or ways in which we've failed in our lives. I'd like to give you a bit of time to do that, but we don't have a lot of time. So let's just take a minute of quiet for you to think about fears and failures in your life up to this point. Just to see what comes to mind. So if you want to jot one or two things down, then feel free to do that. I'm not going to ask you to share what you write. But let's just take a minute of silence to reflect on fears and failures. Okay, a minute of reflection. Okay, I think we've had about a minute. Don't know what came to mind for you. When I started thinking about failures from my life, a few things came to mind. For example, when I was 18, I failed my driving test for the first time. Failed it for the second time when I was 27. I then passed it, thankfully. So far, yeah. At the age of 18, I also failed to get into my first choice of university. So I had to go to my second choice, which was a great thing. Then a few years after that, I very nearly failed to get my degree at the end of university after failing some of my final exams. Some of my failures. My list of fears would definitely include a fear of heights. I can remember when I was 11 or 12, I think, going to London, getting into the centre of London by the underground, then coming up out of the underground and just seeing all these huge, tall buildings, and just the sight of these buildings around me, even though I was at ground level on the pavement, just made me very, very nervous. And that hasn't gone away. Driving here, we travelled over the bridges, the massive bridges that connect the different parts of Denmark and then Denmark to Sweden. And these are suspension bridges. So you get halfway, they're huge. And you have these massive, tall, concrete things suspending the bridge. And just these huge structures, just thinking about how they were made and that people put this together just frightened me. I mean, it's a bit irrational, but it's one of my fears, a kind of fear of high things. And I can also say I'm not a big fan of snakes or spiders. I don't know about you, but there are things that I'm not very comfortable with. And if I'm honest, there are other things on my list of failures and fears that I'm a little more reluctant to share with everybody. I'm sure the same is the case for you. I could go into detail about finances, for example. There's a huge area in which from time to time I feel I failed or feel afraid of what's going to happen. Often it's that wakes me up in the night. And you've probably got things that wake you up in the night, fears or thinking about things that you haven't done or haven't done well, all those sorts of things. And it's interesting when it comes to reading about Peter and the other disciples, how obvious some of their fears and failures are. Maybe we'll just read a couple of the passages from this morning. So if someone could turn up Matthew 14, 22 to 36. Someone else, Matthew 16, 21 to 28. And then someone else, Matthew 26, 69 to 75. So those are three passages from this morning. And if there are three people who could read one of those passages each, that would be great. First passage, Ian. Okay, someone else for the first passage. No, you stick with the second passage. Someone else for the first passage. Sarah, thank you. And someone for the third passage, and then we can just run through them. Great, thank you.
Matthew 14, 26. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up by the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. After the people of the place recognized him, they sent word throughout the region and brought all who were sick to him and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed.
Thank you.
Chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man returning in his kingdom."
So it's pretty clear from those passages that particularly Peter, even though he was he was often leading the way He was often responding enthusiastically to Jesus and situations. He also failed in a number of ways, not just limited to those three passages. And often it's because of fear, probably, that he fails. So there's plenty of fear in the story where Jesus is walking on water. They see him, they're afraid. Peter wants confirmation that it's Jesus, so bravely steps out of the boat, but then begins to walk, and as he sees the wind, is afraid again and starts to sink. And Jesus challenges him, saying, "You know, where's your faith?" I don't know for you when he's in the courtyard and denies even knowing Jesus again. The motivation seems to be fear. He's afraid of being known as one of Jesus' disciples. He fears the consequences of being identified with Jesus at that point, even though the mere fact that he's there is a sign of his courage. You know, there are other disciples who weren't even there where Jesus was, where Peter was when he denies Jesus. And again, the situation where Jesus announces what's going to happen to him, he's going to be crucified, he's going to suffer, he's going to die. Peter's reaction to that raises the question, well, what's behind his reaction? Why does he take Jesus aside and rebuke him, saying, no, this won't happen? What's motivating that that reaction? It could well be a fear that, you know, here is Jesus, the Messiah, the Saviour, and if he's going to die, that's unthinkable. What's going to become of Peter and the other disciples if that happens to Jesus? So these things are linked together, fear and failure, failure and fear. And it's probably true when we look at the lists of our fears and failures that there's some connection there as well. So let's now move on to the question, well, what effect does fear and failure have on us? And we'll do this very quickly, so a quick brainstorm. Has anyone got any thoughts about the way that failure and fear affects us as people? Very good. When we're afraid, when we've done things that are wrong, and we saw that in Genesis 3 as well. That was Adam and Eve's reaction when they realised what they'd done. They hid from God, but it happens. It happens everywhere. Anything else? Any other? Yeah.
So typically, the body produces stress. So it gets under stress, and then there are different ways of fighting against fear.
Yeah.
Running away. So
yeah. Yeah, and the two classic ones are run away or be paralysed by the fear and not be able to even speak or move or be blocked by our past failings or our fears, unable to do what we want to do because of them. Then it. Have many people seen the film Interstellar?
Yes.
There's a point in the film Interstellar where Anne Hathaway's character has made a huge mistake. They're trying to find a planet, or they're trying to find people who've gone to these planets to try and find a new home for people to go to. And they have to choose between the planets. And the one that she goes for turns out to be the wrong one, and they land, and it's just a planet covered in water, and she finds the wreckage of the spaceship that should have landed with the scientists that would have communicated that the place was a good place for them to live, and she's looking for she's looking for something, and there's this massive wave of water coming towards them, and she's just paralyzed. She can't do anything, and she's rescued by a robot, and it's a great film, well worth seeing. But fear and the realization that we've failed can really stop us, be a blockage. And what about the ways then that we cope with our fears and failures? If you're anything like me, then ignoring failure, pretending that it doesn't exist, pretending to be something else, is often the way that I deal with fear and failure. Perhaps another way is to talk about our fears and failures. I must admit, I don't know that I've ever really talked about my fears or failures with other people. It's not something that comes easily to me, but I know other people find that they can talk about those things with friends or maybe even a counsellor. So for some people that is a way of dealing with and coping with fears and failures, is to talk about them. I have the tendency more to try and talk to myself. So if I'm not ignoring my fears and failures, then I'll try and rationalise or minimise or relativise my fears and failures. So I failed my driving test. Plenty of people fail their driving test the first time. It's not a big failure, that's okay. I didn't get into my first choice university. Well, that's why they give you a second choice university. And, you know, I was never going to get into my first choice university. It was just much too hard, obviously. I should have expected to go to my second choice university. Failing my exams and almost failing my degree. Well, wasn't so bad, was it? You know, life carried on. I'd played badminton at university. I'd played for the university. We'd almost won the whole kind of, UK competition. I'd done some things. I'd become a Christian in my second year at university. These were things that I could balance against my near failure. So that's a way that I cope with and deal with fears and failures. But obviously another way of dealing with things is to bring them to God. And that's the opposite of hiding what we've done, who we are. That's bringing it into the open. But that takes faith. We're not going to bring things to God unless we believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I found Romans 7 a very helpful way of defining failure. So let me just read a couple of verses from Romans 7, and then I'll explain why this is helpful. So perhaps you have a way of defining failure. When it comes to driving tests or exams, it's pretty easy to know if we're failing or not. But failure is actually a much bigger thing. And Romans 7, verses 15 and 16, Paul writes, "I do not do what I want to do." So there's a possible definition of failure. I do not do what I want to do. Or just afterwards he says, "I do what I do not want to do." So there, another way of defining failure. And then again, just a little bit later, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. What I do is not the good I want to do. What's the solution to that problem? Is the solution try harder? Paul's solution, or what Paul says, is I need to be rescued. And thank God Jesus is the rescuer. So fear is real. Failure is real. It's part of life. We have ways of dealing with that, of coping with that. Everyone does. We have to carry on. We have to have ways of dealing with that. But our final question is, how does God deal with our failures and our fears? And here we have three more short passages that come from the booklet. So if someone could read Isaiah 41 verse 10. If someone else could read 1 John chapter 4 verses 15 to 18. And then a third person, 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8. So do we have three volunteers?
John
1 John chapter 4, 15 to 18. Stephanie. And someone else for Isaiah 41. And third person, 1 Peter 4, 8. Thanks, Beth. Okay, so we go Emmy, Stephanie, Beth.
Isaiah 41, 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God is for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins.
Great. So if we were to try to summarize, how does God deal with our fears and our failures? I would say he speaks. He communicates. He engages. Doesn't mean that we're listening, but God speaks. And he says, I love you. But it shouldn't surprise us that God has different ways to say, I love you. So some of the ways that God has for saying, I love you are, I forgive you. Or, I will rescue you. Or, I will take care of you. Or he says in Isaiah 41:10, I will be with you. So these are different ways that God has for saying, I love you. So when God says, promises, I will be with you, he's saying, I love you. Because he wouldn't want to be with us, he wouldn't want to be with me, I'm sure, if he didn't love me. And that idea of that instruction, do not fear, do not be afraid, for I am with you, keeps coming up in the Bible. It's really encouraging. And there's so much to do with God being with us that's so essential to life and relationship. It's what Bernard was saying yesterday. We do need someone. We need a friend. If we have someone with flesh and bones, that's great. But actually, that's not even enough. We need God with us, dwelling in us, and us dwelling in God, really to meet our deepest needs and help us to cope with our failures and our fears. That's what we need, and that's what God offers. And we can think of fears and failures as being quite negative, but actually there's a very positive side to fears and failures, because what we can do is to take those things to God. And in a sense, we take rubbish to God, and God does amazing things with that. So he takes he can take our biggest fears and give us peace, a real peace. He can take on board our most horrendous failures, and he can give us back forgiveness and life and love to share with others. It's this amazing exchange that goes on. And it brought to mind, I don't know if you've seen the film Back to the Future. So at the start of the film, so it's all about, is it Marty McFly, this young guy, and his mad scientist friend travelling back in time in this car that's I don't know what it was powered by, but it's a kind of a nuclear reactor or something. And then there's a problem because they don't have the fuel for the nuclear reactor, and there's all the story about the lightning and everything. But then at the end of the film, the scientist has actually gone into the future. So they went back. And then they came to present day. He goes into the future and he comes back. And at that point, he starts putting rubbish in the car to fuel it, because the technology has improved. And now he opens Marty McFly's bin. He's putting in all the banana skins and stuff, and that powers the car. And for me, that's just an example of God taking what is our rubbish and doing something amazing with it. And our fears and our failures, giving those to God and allowing him to transform those things and transform us, is an amazing power for our lives. So it's interesting, isn't it? God says, do not be afraid. And I think in the past I've taken that as a kind of a, almost like I've taken it too far. I've taken it as a kind of a law. Now, if I'm afraid, I'm doing wrong. I'm sinning. But I've realised that actually what God is saying is, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to stay in a place of fear. You can give that to me, and I will transform it. And we know that there's another side of fear, because Peter, who wrote love one another deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins, also in the same letter tells us to live our lives as strangers here in reverent fear. So there is a right place for fear. in one sense, just as we're designed to love, we are designed to fear in a sense as well. But it's not, God doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to be, to know that he is with us and to have that connection. So just to finish, my more recent experiences of failure. So we've been living in France for the past 11 years. Before that, we were, I was in Southampton for 20 years as a student, and then working, working with navigators, meeting Steve and Debs. Lots of great stuff. But going to France was very different. I couldn't speak the language. I didn't know the culture. Thankfully, Alison was the one who led the way. Both in terms of her passion for France, for French people, her love for the country, her love for life in France, and her ability to speak French. So plenty of things for me to get nervous about and to feel very inadequate about. But interestingly, that transition was fine, and the first few years in France were great years. But then I got to the point where I started just to feel like I was failing everything. I was failing in everything. Everything. Nothing I did really was working. Or I just had that feeling. And so I had the question, you know, where does that come from? And it kind of takes us back to the Garden of Eden and the original failure that came from the original fear. So everything was good. Everything was good. But even in the Garden of Eden, there were competing voices. So God spoke, but there was another voice that said, did God really say that? Did God really mean what he said? Because we can sometimes think that it'd be great to have a life without fear, without failure. But to have that sort of life would make us God, which is what that was the temptation in the garden, wasn't it? You'll be like God. You just have to eat this fruit. You'll be like God, and you won't die, and it'll all be fine, and you'll have knowledge, and it'll be great. So we know the story. Who do they listen to? Which voice do they listen to? It's madness, isn't it? On reflection, it's madness that they listen to the voice that says, eat. And yet, we're in the same situation. So I can listen to the voice that says, I'm a complete failure. And if I listen to that voice, my life goes downhill. But there's another voice, isn't there? In fact, this is where listening and hearing clearly what God is saying and wants to say to us is so important, because the other voice says so many other things that lift me. So the voice that says, Isaiah 41, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will be with you. I need to listen to that voice, because that lifts me up. And when Jesus, it's interesting, when Jesus told his parables, often the point of the parable was to think about who you're listening to, what you're hearing. And so that's the thought I want to leave you with, kind of listening. So, I think that's me done. So I feel a failure, but God says, my grace is sufficient for you. That's the thing that I keep hearing from God. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. That's been my recent experience for the last few years, and that has helped me so much. So, questions for discussion groups? It would be great if you could talk about some of your fears and failures. How much detail you go into and what you share will obviously depend on how you feel about the other people in your group. But even just to identify some of those things. So this becomes real. Because if God's love is going to overcome our fears and failures, we have to really feel our fears and failures and know that they're a real thing. So that's the first question. What are some of our fears and failures? What did we put on our list? What would we put on our list? Second question, how do we cope or deal with those things? And then the third thing, to share some of the ways that God has helped you with fears and failures. What's helpful?
The second question, sorry, is that how do we currently deal with them, or how do we think we ought to?
No, how do we tend to, how do we tend to deal with them? So some of those could be good ways of dealing with them. Some of them could be not so good ways of dealing with them. But just being honest, trying to be honest with one another, saying actually, this is a big fear for me, and this is the way I deal with it, and it's not great, doesn't really help. So then the third bit is, okay, what have I found helpful? And share some practical things if you can. Is that okay?